Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Divine Transmissions with Janet. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax if you can. Let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above for the week ahead, specifically for these first few days of the week, as there's a lot going on packed into a few days here. Now, I am so sorry that I wasn't able to come on Friday and talk about the nodes shifting before they actually shifted. But now we are looking at the North Node and the South Node in two new gates in your human design, albeit they're still in Aries and in Libra in your regular astrology. They haven't changed signs, so the themes around those signs are still activated, but now we're just looking at a different a closer look, perhaps, at a theme that is moving through the collective consciousness right now. So I'm going to start the show today with that. Then we'll move to the moon and its placement today, just early this morning, having moved out of Cancer and into Leo. And then we'll talk more about some of the transits that are happening today, especially with the sun in a conjunction to Uranus and with Venus in a sextile to Saturn. Both of those are impactful to us as individuals. And then I'll talk about the bigger picture of the energies of the week through our human design, what gates are being transited by the sun and the earth. And they're in some interesting energies. Like, we have this mixed bag of energies right now. And I can tell you, based on all the things that have been going on in my family, there are some themes that we are being asked to push through, all of us as a family, but I'm sure it's all of the collective as well. Themes around healing wounds, healing the past, or letting go of the past at any rate, as much as you can. Acceptance and love. These are the big, big themes that seem to be moving through right now. And sometimes it's easier than other times, right? Some days you can move through it with ease. And I just realized that over the weekend, the moon was in Cancer. I hadn't even looked at the astrology of the weekend, but for Mother's Day, the moon, which rules mothers, was in the sign of Cancer, the sign that rules mothers. The sign and the planets were aligned to really celebrate mothers. But it's not just about mothers, right? It was Mother's Day, so we celebrate motherhood and mothers and the role that mothers play in our lives. But if we look at the energy of mothering, what's really being celebrated here is this idea of nurturing and of helping someone or something to grow and to expand into or mature into one's life. So it had had an energy, not just of motherhood, but also of this idea of growing and nurturing, taking care of, properly taking care of, right? Because a theme that I noticed as well was the upside down part of that nurturing, which is where you're taking care of everybody else and everybody else is coming to you to take care of them, but you're not taking care of yourself. And that starts when, you know, you get overly involved in everybody else's wounds or everybody else's lives. So it was an interesting theme that developed over the weekend. It's a theme that's been there, but I don't think I really paid as much attention until Friday's family emergency, which I'm not going to go into, but suffice it to say that the one thing I noticed huge in that was we were on the last day of the North Node in the Gate of Shock. And between Thursday night and Friday, I had a huge shock, or my entire family had a huge shock. So, yay, right? We end the Gate of Shock and now we're in the Gate of Control, right? Now we go to the Gate of Control, otherwise known in quantum human design as the Gate of Self-Regulation. And I really rather prefer that particular word or phrase, self-regulation, because in the end, this really comes down to our collective destiny, because it's the North Node that's here. So the cosmic shift in our destiny at this point in time is toward self-mastery, right? Toward this energy of self-regulation. And what I've noticed is the opposite. You guys might have noticed it too, and that all turns out to be things like control, like manipulation, like people who are, taking on this role of thinking they can control everyone or everybody, right? Or, I mean, if you look in the news, there's these issues. They're all, it's pervasive, right? It's in everything. As if we were preparing for this very transit. Yes. So let's talk about the gate of control. I'm going to show you my screen because I think it's interesting to be able to see where this is going on. Just 1 minute while I change over here. There we go. So now you guys should be seeing my human design chart, not my human design chart, but let me make this a little bigger. Okay. So when we're looking at a human design chart, of course, when there are the gates, but they are the smaller energies that are collectively sitting on a center. And it's the center that holds the themes that might get expressed through the gates. So here is the gate 21. It is on the will center or heart center or ego center. So this particular center has a lot of different, names. But when we're really looking at this center, it is the center that really controls material resources and or resources of all kinds. So that can be money, time, energy, and how we work with those resources, or how we, I'm trying to avoid the word control, but let's just say it. How do we control resources and then distribute them in a more fair manner, right? That's what this particular center is all about. But it is also an engine, if you will, in human design. It has an energy of a pulse to it. And this particular center pulses on and off. And it is the will power, the endurance, the perseverance power that also needs to rest. So in this center, we often say that the energies are about working to rest. Okay, working to rest. But because we're humans and because we live in a world where we are being influenced by other people's beliefs, and by energies that seem outside of our control, this has become more of a work for production energy. Work for production. Production, production, production. Do, do, do. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And literally in this energy center, it needs rest in order to operate it at its best. Right? So rest, meaning the pulse of energy comes on for us to take action or to work or to do, and then it stops. And then at that point, we are meant to rest or relax, take a break, go to sleep, take a nap, right? But we miss that cue because we live in a world that doesn't value that. There is no way that you're going to tell your boss, oh, hey, my willpower, my will center just pulsed off. I need to go take a nap now. Can you imagine going up to your boss and saying something like that? Oh, sorry, got to go take a nap. Got to take a break. But it's very true that this particular center, when it pulses off, needs rest. And that rest might look like a nap, but it doesn't have to. It could look like changing what you're focused on and doing something different, or going and taking a bite of some food, taking some drinks of water, sitting down, maybe doing a quick meditation, and then that pulse shifts and you can go back to work, which the work here is about providing resources, right? Or working for the provision of resources. Now, that is basically that energy center. And you'll notice this energy center connects up to the throat center. So it has manifestation powers. It has the power of creation, getting, the will from the perseverance, from the endurance, you make it up to the throat and it gets manifested, right? So it moves up that way. It also moves over to the identity center, which is the seat of the soul. So it also sort of includes here this idea of the ego or the will being in service to the soul, right? Let me say that again, that this will or ego center being in the service of the soul, the deeper you, the real reason why you're here, and the willpower, the endurance, the perseverance, the tenacity, the determination, the stubbornness to get it done. But we can also see that it connects over here to the spleen center, which is the center for time and intuition, health, and all of the gates of the spleen, which are being activated by right now, had been being activated by the earth, has another activation here now for the next few months of the south node sitting at the gate 48. Which is a gate where in the fear field, it's about inadequacy, not being smart enough, not being having enough, not being enough, not knowing enough, not having the resources to be able to do what you want to do. So I need another certification. I need another couple of letters or initials after my name so that I can feel like I'm really worthy and adequate to, you know, do what I do in the world. So we can see now that this will center or the needing to be in the service of the soul is a little bit more complex right now because of the gate 48 now being hit with the south node. All right. I'm going to take a look over here back in a StreamYard to see if anybody has questions about that, because this is a very interesting yet powerful part of who we are over these next 3 months or what we're learning. I see people saying, good morning, good morning, good morning. Terry takes naps at work every day. He does indeed. He listens, you know, interestingly enough, he listens to his will, to his heart center, where most people do not, right? Most people eat their lunch on the run, or they will skip lunch altogether. They don't listen to their body. He listens to his body. It says, time for me to conk out for 30 minutes. And he does that. So any questions about those centers, I'll come back and I will look at that for you in a minute. So while the north node is sitting at the gate of self-regulation or the gate of control, we used to call this gate the gate of the treasurer as well, because the gate 21, through its ability to regulate, can really be good at budgets and of using resources wisely. There's a certain materialism that comes through this particular gate. And I don't mean that in a negative way, right? We all have things in our lives that we have to manage somehow. Sometimes we have too many things, right? And those things become then like albatrosses across our neck, right? We have too much stuff. We don't want to let it go or release it. So we have an overabundance of that material stuff. And then hopefully with self-regulation, then we can move through releasing what it is we don't need, right? Or what is no longer as interesting to us as it was once. If you haven't touched it in a year, you likely don't need it, right? So you can let it go. So there's that aspect of this. It's all about the, hold on. There. It's all about how we manage our things, our resources, including money and time and your energy. But there's also a focus on self-mastery in this gate, that this is collective. This isn't just you. This is collectively, right? Your own north node is probably, unless you were born around this time of the year, in Aries at this degree-ish, you probably don't have any of the that gate defined for a north node, but you're still going to be impacted by it at this point in time. And this is an archetypal energy where in the human design, we are, as humans, learning to control ourselves, not everybody around us, right? Think about how when we try to control others, it's really because we're not controlling ourselves, right? And discipline is showing up here, and self-mastery. And as the North Node moves into this gate, there could be this emphasis on all of us being able to harness personal power and take responsibility for our own actions, our own choices, and individuals and society. So this is not just you personally, but again, society. We may feel compelled as a people, as a collective, to establish some kind of greater control over our lives and our environment, our laws, lots of different things here. And I say laws because Libra on the other side, because this is an Aries gate, but Libra on the other side, the gate 48, has this ideal of being law abiding, right? Of doing what's right according to the law. So we're seeking to master our impulses and our emotions. Even though this isn't the emotion center, it could be triggered by emotions, and that pushes us out to do things that in a way that's not right for us. And I'll tell you, there's a huge health benefit by learning self-mastery here, because this center rules the heart in your body, literally the heart and all of the conditions of the heart, right? So heart attack or strokes or high blood pressures or anxieties, right? Anxieties live here as well. The anxiety of I've got to keep doing, I've got to control this very tightly. It takes so much more of your energy to control something than to relax and just allow something, right? Now, I'm not saying give up and just let anything happen. That's not what this is. It's the wise use of resources. Wise use of resources. The center is also one that is defined by only 1/8 of the population. So only 1/8 of us out here have this center colored in our human design. 7/8 of you have this open, or it would be white if you were looking at it. But now you have this extra gate sitting here, right? That is now prompting the potential for perhaps power struggles around money or around resources. If someone else in your world has the gate 45 defined, the relationship between the two of you would bring the 45 and the 21 together and create the potential for some kind of power struggles, especially around finances or how to distribute the wealth, so to speak. But for the most of us, it is about how do we master ourselves? How do we balance the authority from outside of us and the authority that we hold within us, also known as freedom, right? So we're learning how to balance that. We're balancing the need to exert control, but allowing for freedom. So balancing, it's a balancing act. We talked about how axes in astrology create the need for balance. Well, this is an Aries gate that has to be balanced by Libran balance. How fun is that? So while control may feel very empowering, like I'm in control, it can also lead to being rigid, to being stuck, and to being resistant to change, which right now the very air we breathe is all about. How do we transcend? How do we change? How do we evolve? And we can't evolve if we don't face these control issues, the need to balance our own personal authority with freedom and rights of others and their own authority, right? It's a big struggle. It's a struggle. Right now, I read an article this morning, briefly, actually, just read it about the Supreme Court of the U.S. In an 8-1 vote, which is pretty shocking, allowing a lawsuit to go forward where the state of Missouri is fighting against the federal government over who can control gun laws. Interesting, right? Because in the USA, we value the separation of church and state, and we also value these checks and balances of the different systems, right? So states versus the federal government, the executive branch of government versus the legislative versus the judicial. So our governmental system is really about balancing, right? So it was interesting to see that show up in a newsreel this morning when these nodes just shifted on May 11th. And by the way, the nodes are in these two gates, the 21, which we're talking about now, and the 48 until July 19th. So that gives you some, you know, idea of what the timing is going to be. I thought it would be really interesting if they were the gates that were in control during the election, but not to be. That'll be the gate 17, which is the next gate, 17 and 18. Now, what I find super fascinating about all this, and you guys know me, I love that word, fascinating, interesting, aha, like I love it. Ah, ooh, let me show you something. I'm going to stop sharing for just 1 second here. I was doing a session with someone and we were talking about her solar return and what was coming next for her. And something that I said about her solar return reminded her about a project that she and some other women were working on in terms of education, which I found so interesting because Jupiter's about to move into Gemini in 2 weeks, right? Or on the 25th. So a week, 2 weeks, we'll say 2 weeks. And Jupiter in Gemini does rule the education system. And what they were talking about is based on this book, Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. And the guy's name is Datcher Keltner. And I'd never heard of this guy, but I'll tell you what, this does happen to me, but I picked this book up and I couldn't put it down. Because one of the things I think has been missing in our lives that would help us balance everything else is awe, wonder, magic, mystery, right? Surprise. So I'll tell you more about that book as I read it. But also, if you want to read it, awe, A-W-E in all caps, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. Cool book. Okay. So let's go back real quick to our, first of all, let me check because I thought I saw something here. Good morning to all of you, by the way. I know I didn't run down the list and say good morning to individuals. I see you all out there. I love you all. Thank you for joining me. Christine said she has a defined heart will, gate 45. Wow. So Taurus ascendant, design side, it's a half red line from the undefined throat towards 21 is a half line called a hanging gate. And yes, it is a hanging gate. And a hanging gate is an opportunity that has not yet manifested. And that opportunity will manifest when someone is around you or a planet is transiting the opposite gate. So if you have the gate 45 defined, which is what you're saying, it's on the throat center, and the now transiting north node at the gate 21 activates that entire channel now for you. So watch what happens over the next few months for you with power struggles around money, around other resources, time and energy, and, you know, see if it triggers you to become a better money manager or if someone else is trying to control your resources in some way. It'll be really fascinating for you, I think, Christine, to see how that balances out in your life. Tom, so one of he says, awe, be like a child. I love that. I love that. But what he was talking about in the book, if you look up awe, initially it wasn't a positive. Initially in language, awe was when we were struck dumb almost from a power or authority so much bigger than ourselves. And it resulted in fear, right? The result was we fear God because he's an awesome being, right? So it has roots in fear. And then as time has gone on, awe has turned to be more about something that inspires us, right? Or something that really, you know, hits home and we're just like, oh, right? So it is a word that over time has changed in its meaning. And I found it interesting. I'm getting chills even talking about this. I found it interesting because we have a gate in human design. So a part of your human template is about awe. and wonder. The gate 61 up in the head center, the middle center gate, heading down to the Ajna, is called the gate of awe or wonder, right? And it is also a pressure, right? A pressure. What do we do when we are awestruck? What do we do with all that wonder? Yes, you're welcome, Christine. Yep. Regaining our childlike, open-hearted joy. Good one, right? But also, the gate 48, the gate 21, before I go to the 48, has a lot to do with how we manage our energy, right? Are we going to force, right? That this is a big gate and a big center for burnout, where we keep pushing even beyond the signal that it's time to rest, where we can use our willpower to endure and to persevere. Now, ideally, that's not a bad thing. If you've been in college and you know you've got finals coming up, right, and you are, pushing to study or to understand everything that you need in order to pass the test, then you might do what we called an all-nighter, right? Popping caffeine pills to try to stay awake so you could pass this test. Now, doing that once in a while, we can do. We have this center. We can tap into this energy of perseverance. But what happens in our world is that this has become a habit. This has become routine. And we cannot routinely use this energy in that way because it leads to heart attack, stroke, burnout, headaches, anxieties, all kinds of really bad, not good things for our bodies, right? Or for our mental health. So we have to learn that this is an energy that pulses on and off, that we can tap into it when it's on, right? And we know when we're forcing something, right? You're tired, you're dragging, and yet you're forcing yourself to keep working, to keep working. I know it's 4 o'clock. I only have one more hour before I can go home. Rather than taking a break, even if you just walked around, went outside, deep breathed a few times, got a drink of water, ate a quick bite of something that would break the persevering energy and allow you to go back, because this is a pulse, right? How many times have you felt so tired or sleepy, but you had to keep going because you couldn't stop? That's this energy. This is this center that can keep us pushing into doing things that break us, eventually break us, right? The younger you are, the easier it is to play with this energy. But the older you get, the more you've done this, the harder it is to maintain that, and the body breaks, right? Or your psyche breaks. So we got to watch this with no pushing, no forcing things to happen, allowing ease and grace. Remember, Saturn is at gate 22 now, the gate of grace, being in ease, recognizing when the timing is right and when the timing is not right, okay? And then acting appropriately. All right, let's go back to our drawing. Presentations, share screen, back to our body graph. Now let's take a look at the gate 48. This is the south node. And the south node always represents what it is that we're releasing, right? What are the things that we have to let go of or move through? And this is, again, collectively, so that we can move more fully toward the north node, right, toward self-regulation and self-mastery, right, discipline. And what we have to let go here, in some respects, is our constant quest for knowledge, or our constant quest for more information, right? Now, I'm not saying stop looking for information. I'm not saying that at all. But what happens in this gate when we're on this constant quest is that we begin to feel inadequate without adequate amounts of knowledge. And so it'll stop us, because that's what fear does, right? Fear, it gets in the way and it stops us from turning our knowledge into wisdom that is then shared with our fellow humans. So we're on a journey with this gate then for gathering spiritual knowledge, gathering truth, right? Gathering wisdom and then using that as a way to share with others, like spread the love, but in this case, spread the wisdom, right? Share the love, share the wisdom, not just holding on to it. And in some respects, this is almost a, if we can get out of the fear of inadequacy and not knowing enough, this is, I'm looking deeper into, for instance, awe, right? So I'm not in fear about awe or wonder or anything, but I'm interested as a philosophical approach to life about the impact that awe can have on my physical health, on my mental health, and my life in general, right? So that kind of philosophical inquiry is awesome, is backed up by the Gate 48, but not coming at it from a fear of inadequacy. Spiritual exploration during this time, quite awesome. So people in general, not just you, not just me, but collectively, we're looking for the knowledge and wisdom that transcends the conventional boundaries of our mind. So we're wanting to see behind that curtain, right? That drape. And then we want to integrate that wisdom into not just our own lives, but into the society, into the culture, right? So in a way, this gate as a collective, not just you as an individual, but in the collective, the bigger story is about how do we learn from history? And then how do we apply history appropriately so that we can navigate the problems that we currently have? And that can be an inquiry that looks back at history and says, okay, we really blew that. And how can we learn from that error and move on, right? How do we approach our current challenges? And this could be both personal or societal, global, right? Even the bigger, wider world, with greater insight, but also greater foresight. How do we see what's ahead of us through this? And we have to honor our inner guidance here. This center is the center for time, intuition, health, well-being, success, thriving versus just surviving. And its highest expression, the Gate 48 encourages us to trust our inner wisdom and our intuition, right? The collective, hopefully, starts to see this and starts to seek out practices that cultivate mindfulness or meditation, self-reflection, and pathways to deeper knowing and deeper understanding, understanding the bigger picture. So the shift to these gates, this 21 and 48, suggests that we're on a collective journey through establishing some greater sense of self-regulation or self-mastery, we could call it, accountability, we could call it, and wisdom, and navigating the energies of the world, of what our challenges are as we face them coming into the next 3 months or so, and how we use that wisdom for transformation and how we use that as a way to evolve our consciousness. That's what this is all about. So by embracing the lessons of control and wisdom, we have the potential to create a more harmonious and enlightened world, right? It'll be another 18 and a half years before we would get this energy again, right? So we take advantage of it while we have it. All right. So let's go back here. There we go. Any questions about any of that, please go ahead and let me know. I want to talk a little bit now. As I said early this morning, the moon transited out of Cancer and into Leo. And funny thing, I'm just now feeling a little more alive and awake and aware, kind of getting into that Leo energy from the Cancer energy that had me kind of sleepy this morning. That's pretty funny. And when the moon is transiting through the sign of Leo, it infuses everything about our lives with warmth and enthusiasm and creativity, because Leo is ruled by the sun. So we get the advantage of the moon moving through the sun's domain, bringing both of the luminaries, right, it together. And both of the luminaries, our ego self, our personalities, and our inner selves, and our intuition, our inner world, right, bringing those together. And that means that we have more access to express our emotion, our emotional energy. The moon rules emotions. And because Leo is a sign that's known sort of for drama and for the expressiveness of words and the expressiveness of the creative energy, emotions right now might tend to be more dramatic, more bold, more colorful. We may be more feeling around things and more open to sharing what we're feeling. We might be expressing ourselves with more passion and more enthusiasm. We may be seeking more attention, like, hey, look at me, and recognition. We might want more of that for what it is that we're doing and for what we're feeling. We also have an increased amount of creativity and self-expression. Leo is a sign that rules self-expression. It's ruled by the sun, right? Symbolizing the whole creativity, vitality of our uniqueness and how we express it out into the world. So we may have a heightened focus for the next couple of days on all of the things that we create, our personal creations, our personal artistic pursuits, our projects, right? These are the things that we want to sort of put our signature on, showcasing, if you will, our talents and so forth. But there's also a desire for recognition in Leo. They crave, the sign itself craves admiration and recognition. And that influence is felt very powerfully when the moon is transiting through here, because on the inner realms, we want to be seen for who we truly are, not just for what we do. Does that make sense? Right? We're wanting to really be seen for the truth of who we are. And the truth of who we are comes out in our self-expression. So it links those things out. We want to make sure that we acknowledge ourselves and others during this time, and especially through appreciation. I appreciate you all because you show up here in the morning and you listen to me go on and on about astrology and human design. I appreciate that you give me that moment to shine, right? So easy. Tell people around you what you love about them, or acknowledge something about them, and also acknowledge something about yourself. You want to hear a funny story? This happened to me. Terry and I went out to dinner. Must have been Saturday night. And there's a new Korean fried chicken restaurant in town. And I was intrigued. Korean fried chicken? What is that? And it's not called Korean fried chicken. It's called Swan's fried chicken, but it's a Korean place, right? So we were sitting in there, and the waitress, she was so sweet, just a really nice, beautiful lady. And hey, Tracy, that was her name, Tracy. And she says, do you have a YouTube channel? She said, I recognize your voice. And it was the first time ever in my public life, my private life, that somebody's recognized my voice and asked me, like, are you on YouTube? And I said, why, yes, I have a show called Living Astrology. And she's like, I knew it. I knew it. I recognized you, but I really recognized your voice. It was wonderful to think that, you know, my peers, people in the world around me actually recognized me for the work that I'm doing. It was amazing. Okay. Anyway, that was the story. The desire for recognition. We all have it, right? We all have it. And we all want to be seen. And a lot of times I feel invisible. I have a 12th house sun, right? So being seen, it was a little daunting at first. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But then I was like, oh yeah, thanks, right? It's really cool. There's a lot of generosity and warmth. Leo rules the heart. The heart in a good way, right? The heart as it swells in love, as it, you know, generates warmth and good feelings and wants to, you know, give those out to the world. So it's a time for spreading joy and for positivity and celebrating love and romance and friendships and just all of the delightful things, the awe in our lives that makes it happy for us, right? There is the drama flare. right? That we can't help. Leo loves drama. And so drama is prevalent when the moon is transiting through Leo. But then there's also the Leo leadership and Leo confidence that we can tap into. The Leo, the sign, holds natural leadership, right? They naturally gravitate toward, you know, positions of power or authority, or somehow they get into the limelight. And part of that comes from the fact that they exude confidence and charisma. There's a very charismatic streak that runs through the sign of Leo. So during this transit, we each can feel more self-assured, more confident, in ourselves, also more assertive in putting forth our passions and doing what we love. So take charge of your life, lead, be your own leader, right? You don't have to lead a whole bunch of people. Some of you are role models, or some of you have line fives prominent in your lives, and you're just out there doing what you love. Some of you are manifestors. You're just out there doing what you love, and you're being a leader in the respect that people look at you and see what you're doing and follow along. Right? You didn't ask for the mantle, but you carry it nonetheless from your charisma, from the power you're exuding, right? People will follow you. So overall, the moon's transit through Leo is a time of heightened emotions, creativity, the expressions of joy and love and fun and pleasure. It's a time to tap into the kid within you, right? And do the things that bring you joy and happiness. All right. Questions. Let's see here. Asa, is the Leo moon energy expressed differently based on the phases of the moon it shows up in? I have a Leo natal moon, but I feel different sometimes each month when Leo comes in. And I would say absolutely. Absolutely. This weekend, let's see, I saw the crescent moon. So we are, yesterday. So tomorrow we'll be in the crescent phase of the new moon. So energetically, it would be linked to the first steps we take in something new, right? Because the crescent moon phase is pretty much a growth phase of the moon. The moon is growing, right? It's taking all of the intention and the manifesting power of the new moon and putting it to work, doing something with it. So the crescent moon is always a time where we start to take action on the intention that was driven home with that new moon. So Asa, then your, I don't remember what phase of the moon that you were born in, but take that. And now you've got this energy of pushing forward, doing something new, right? Or taking action on the intentions that you might have placed out there in the world with your new moon. I hope that makes sense, right? So that's an interesting way to look at that. J-Lo, would the 48 in the South Node, or would the 48 in the South Node allow for easier access to past lives if a parent has the 16 in their South Node and IQ is in 16-6, if this makes sense? It does make sense. And of course, the 16 is at the throat center. So the gate 48 and the energies it has would naturally connect to anything that you have at the gate 16. Well, the 16 is called the gate of zest in quantum human design, but I really think of it as the gate of enthusiasm and being able to speak to something that you know. So this would, past lives, yes, because the South Node is what's at the 48, or past experiences, even if it's in this lifetime. But taking that and being able to bring it out to the throat center in a way that maybe helps others through your wisdom of experience to share with others what you know, right? Or what your experiences have been. Cool. Okay, my IQ is in the 16 and I have a defined throat also. And the IQ is your mental, we really need to do a class on this because this is a very great way to look at your evolution of your life. In the gene keys, we have these different gates or gene keys that rule certain time frames in our lives. So from birth to age 7, there's a gene key in your genetic, hologenetic profile that rules the behaviors, the physical body, the physical realm for you for those first 7 years. And then there is the EQ, which would be from age 7 or 8 to 40 to 14, excuse me. And that's where your emotional well-being is being established. And the gene key that rules that in your human design / gene keys would be about the emotional maturation process. And so the things that happen during that emotional time lead to how you grow into the next level, which is the mental level, the mind. And that one is from about age 14 to 21. So what J-Lo is saying here is that she has the gate 16 in her IQ. IQ meaning intelligence quotient, but it's not just that. It's about the mental things that you went through. So if that was the gene key ruling that time of your life, then J-Lo, there was a passion that you somehow gained during that time for knowledge, for wisdom, for knowing yourself, for now that makes such perfect sense to me that you have that gate there because of the way that you absorb information, right? You just go everywhere into lots of different websites and different ways of knowing, and you grab it and you bring it in because you have a passion for that, right? You have a passion that was born out of that time period of your life, 14 to 21, where you were passionate about something. Okay. And she says, Asa, yes, let's do a class. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. I got to figure it out though. All right, Pam, gene key class for beginners. Oh, great idea. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, J-Lo, gene keys for beginners. I'm writing it on my calendar, so it's in my face. Okay. I forgot what I had been talking about. Oh, okay. We were talking about the 2148. And no, we were talking about the Leo moon. There we go. Okay. J-Lo says, OMG, Janet, my parents were spiritual and me learning these systems helped me translate to others better. Right? And to be able to speak it because it's on your throat center. The 16 is on your throat center. You also have to understand that these energies that show up at birth to 7, 7 to 14, and 14 to 21 repeat, right? So the themes that the gate that is at your SQ, it's called your SQ, at 0 to 7 also shows up from about 21 to 28, right? Because they leap into the repeat of a pattern. So, you know, we could take whatever age you are right now and we could, you know, break it down by, okay, well, what would be the age group that would be, I mean, what would be the development? Is it body, physical? Is it emotional or is it mental that is being repeated right now for you? It's really kind of cool to do that because then you're going, you know, why am I thinking about all these things that happened when I was like 7 years old? Well, duh. Right? Because you're in an age where those themes are repeating in your life for some reason. So they're coming back up. Wow. You guys have just blown me away this morning. That just gives me such a great idea on how to help people. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. Because I only have a few more minutes here and I want to talk about where the sun and earth are in your human design, because this week, this week, the sun is at the gate 23 and the earth is at the gate 43. It connects the Ajna to the throat center. It is called the freak to genius channel, colloquially, kind of fun in a fun way. But it is a channel of breakthrough, right? Where this great new energy comes in or new information comes in. We get the insight in the Ajna, the earth at the gate 43 at the tip going down. I'm sorry, it connects the Ajna to the throat. So the 43 is on the Ajna, the 23 already being stimulated from Uranus sitting at the gate 23. And now the sun is there. And we have this connection that all of our insights come out now and are broadcast, transmitted, or assimilated, right? We can take these new ahas, we bring them in and we're like, duh, we got it now. And then begins a process for some people, not everybody, of being able to transmit that energy, that wisdom, that those words, right? To be able to make it understood. So the 23 and the 43 are activated through tomorrow. So they've actually been activated this whole time, the last few days. So we're assimilating new energy or new information, because that's what the gate 23 does. It assimilates and it breaks it down into simpler terms and then turns it around and shares it in a way that people can understand. Sort of leveraging that knowledge and the ability to play with words and put it in a form that most people can understand. But we're also seeking meaningful connections with the gate 43, because the gate 43 is intuitive. It gets flashes of insight. It has breakthrough moments. It sees possibilities in a way that is different and then wants to transmit that. But it can be far ahead of its time, and transmitting that information to the wrong people at the wrong time can lead them to think of you as being a freak rather than a genius, right? Freak, Da Vinci, like sharing pictures and things that were like so far beyond what people at that time could understand. So we have to seek our meaningful connections and the seek the people that will get us. And we do that by waiting for the invitation to speak, right? We don't just like blurt the fact that we can see all of this energy around us. And you know, like, yeah, sometimes that goes over like a lead balloon. People are like, oh my God, what is she talking about? Yet 3 weeks later, somebody else says the same thing. And they're all like, whoa, where have you been all of our lives? Right? That's so wise. And then the person who originally said it is like, well, what am I? Chopped liver? Right. I said that same thing and you didn't take it in because the timing wasn't right. So the 43-23 or the 23 at the sun, 43 at the earth is really telling us about sharing in right timing, right? Sharing in right timing, integrating what you know with your voice in a way that people can take it in. Otherwise, it's like words landing on deaf ears. They just don't get you. And, you know, then you start to feel like, well, nobody gets me, right? I'm so out there that so woo, nobody gets me. Personal growth and evolution comes through being able to align with your greatest, highest insights, and then to share them when appropriate and with whom it's appropriate to share in the right timing. And it's a time, it's a big time of assimilating wisdom and gaining insights, right? This is huge in terms of everybody being able to see beyond where they are, right? Seeing how, you know, there's a more collaborative energy that we can bring in. But we all have to be on, you know, somewhat the same level of wisdom. Like, I couldn't be talking about the gene keys to you if you didn't really have some kind of an understanding of human design, because one is built on the other. So keep that in mind. You also have to honor your inner guidance during this week, because you're being prompted to share your genius with the world. And every one of you has genius. Whether you think you do or you don't, you do. Right? It might not be the genius that, you know, of a football player star, or of a, you know, star, whatever, of a scientist genius, but you could be a master, a mistress of feng shui, right? You just know how to put all those things in order so everybody's energies move smoothly, right? That would be your genius. Everybody has it. It's just different for everybody. Now, on the 15th through the 20th of the month, we have the sun at the gate 8 and the earth will be at the gate 14. This is a recipe for prosperity, for abundance, right? This, to me, is the energy that is all of those Taurus planets. Remember, on 15th Wednesday, there's 5 planets that will come together in Taurus, creating this huge stellium of energy. Well, I kind of see this as a culmination point coming from, first of all, the transits of the planets through Taurus, of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus that occurred last month, and for the ending, or what will be the ending, of Jupiter's transit through Taurus. So we're culminating these ideas of abundance, and what does that mean, and prosperity, and how do we attract and manifest things in our lives, and how do we set intentions, and how do we move forward, you know, with those intentions. Now, the sun at gate 8 focuses our energy on contribution, right? What is our personal contribution? And there's a desire that each one of us has in somewhere deep within you, is this desire to create meaningful impact and to contribute to the collective in some way. It's kind of a human thing. You all have gate 8, whether it's defined or not. So deep within you is this sort of soul urging to live out a life purpose, to share with the world something of yourself, and to make a positive impact in the world. Why do we do eulogies at a funeral, right? Because we're looking at what this person has contributed to the world through their life. But we should be doing this every day. What am I contributing, right? What would it look like if I was doing what I loved and contributing my desire and my passion to the world? So we can also feel very inspired during this next week to share with our communities and to support things that other people are doing in the world. Now, the 14 is on the sacral center. Hold on. Is it? Yes. My mind just doesn't want to work in pictures today. But in the sacral, what we have is the energy of doing. Right? The energy of doing, and this is a gate of prosperity. It is the only place in human design where we work for money, or we work for abundance, right? The energy of abundance itself doesn't necessarily come from work, but in the gate 14, and when it's activated, we are moving outward toward working for money. And that is using our creative energy, our personal path to abundance, to create more of that. So we're being encouraged from the earth to trust that our creative instincts and taking bold action will help us manifest prosperity for ourselves and open the doorway for others. And the gate 8 and 14 also suggest that there's a synergy going on between contribution and creation. So that kind of sounds like collaboration, right? Working with others to create, working with others to contribute. It also is a week that empowers our self-expression and allows us to contribute from a place of passion, but also integrity. Integrity, doing what's right for you, coming from a place that's right for you. So we're all being emboldened to be more in that creative energy. And then manifesting abundance is a natural outpicturing of that for this week. Taurus is a sign of abundance. And this is Taurus energy, right? And all of those planets leading us to express our abundance. And in the process, honoring the creative process that we are going through. What does it take to create? All right. Now, it's almost 9 o'clock, so I have to stop here. But I want to remind everybody, I am now posting up the day's transmission in written format or in a document format. I go back into Facebook. This is probably the best place for you to get it. I go back into Facebook after I produce the video, and I put the link up to the document so that you have the written notes, right, of my notes, what I'm reading off. And by the way, it's going to be in sort of it's like this, you know, it comes in sort of an document form, but in like an outline, because that's how I think, right? So that's how I share. And you guys have access to that, all right? So that you can read. Now, like, I didn't get to some of the things today, Sun conjunct Uranus, Venus sextile Saturn. So those will be in the written and you can read about that. Okay. Everybody understand where I get it, right? Where to go to get that? on Facebook, Living Astrology Facebook page. But also, you can go back to the YouTube channel and get the video for today. And in the description of the video, which is just below the video box, you can say, tap on show more, and you'll get more information. I also put the link there. Okay. Okay, anyway, that is it for me today, except for one thing. I want to draw a card. And this one's going to be a bit, because I want to use my new deck by Amy Patty Colvin, Cultivating Compassion. And these are these beautiful art cards that also have these wonderful, peaceful messages with them for us. And let's see if we've got one for the week. Also, I want to remind you, on Friday, it is May 17th. Yep. So that will be my Pleiadian Earth friends, or Pleiadian Earth astrology friends. Ooh, that one jumped. Pia and Colin. So they will be with me on Friday. So we have Shamu. We have an orca. I see them out in the bay, way out in the bay. And it says, compassion. It's card number 17, compassion. And it says, compassion for myself leads to greater compassion for others. Compassion for others leads to better acceptance of myself. That's a wonderful card. Okay, let's see what else I can read about it. In the book that comes with the cards, I'll also put a link to where you can get these. The page is something that you can read just because you open the book and there it is. And I want to read about, you know, the concept of the circular nature of compassion. But it also has a self-reflection and an informal practice. So let's look at this. So far, you've explored getting comfortable in your own skin, quieting your mind, leaning into self-acceptance, and recognizing that you are just fine exactly as you are. Now let's review the definition of compassion from the prologue. Compassion combines awareness, recognition of suffering or distress in self or others, empathy, being emotionally touched by the suffering or distress, and 3, action, feeling compelled to take action to help ease the suffering or distress. Taking action can involve doing anything along a continuum, from helping at the food bank, to donating to your favorite cause, to imagining the person experiencing distress, and authentically and sincerely sending well wishes to that person. So, this is an action, a reflection as well, about what relationship can I enhance by connecting first with compassion for myself, yourself, and then extending it to outward. Does this idea feel exciting or uncomfortable? And the informal practice says, I will practice being comfortable in my skin. If I feel resistance to this, I will extend compassion to myself. Once I have basked in compassion for myself, I will extend compassion toward others. Great. So we have the orca, compassion, all about compassion. All right. That's it for me this morning, you guys. I will see you on Friday. Don't forget to look for the written notes of this. It will be not up right away. You know, check later in the morning or early in the afternoon. Much love to all of you. See you on Friday. Bye. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.